huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
The Money Podcast by best-selling author of Money, Rob Moore, dives into how to make, manage, and master money. How to know more, make more, and give more. How to save, invest, and raise money. The Money Podcast is for anyone who wants to make more money in a job, profession, or passion. For money masters and money disasters. They say money doesn't make you happy. Rob says it does.
Hi, it's Rob Moore here, and I am with the amazing Jesse Meester, international man of mystery, travel influencer, NFT-er, cryptocurrency-er, international stud.
My man. What an introduction. Keep going.
Yeah, don't worry about your accomplishments, just international stud. But look, for those that don't know Jesse Meester, first off, welcome to the Money Podcast. We're actually recording this for the Money Podcast because we're going to be mostly talking about NFTs, cryptocurrencies, the digital art space and the revolution that's happening there, which is a big thing that Jesse's all over. He does these big launches on Clubhouse for them. He's really well connected. But yeah, go check out Jesse Meester on Instagram to follow him. But we'll do that all towards the end. But Jesse, this is the first time ever on my Money Podcast, nearly 200 episodes in, that we're talking about NFTs and, you know, this digital art revolution, I guess. So the first thing I want to ask you, Jesse, is WTF are NFTs?
Well, where do I start? Thank you so much, by the way, for having me. It's always good to speak with you, and hello, everybody that's live here with us. The best way to describe NFTs, the non-fungible token, is something like a digital signature that's visible on the blockchain, kind of like the artist that is known behind an art piece, but then tokenized, like it's on the blockchain, visible forever, who the creator is of that artwork. The great thing about NFTs and the technology right now is that the creators of NFTs, of artwork, you can literally mint anything into the blockchain. For you to have an NFT, you will always be known as that creator. Also, you will receive royalties even on a secondary market. Right now, if I buy an art, I'm an art collector myself. If I resell that, the original artist will never receive any royalties over that. In some cases, a lot of unknown artists that I buy pieces from, people don't even know about. So right now, it's on the blockchain. It's always going to be visible, and the artist will receive royalties, which I think is a beautiful thing. And I just did my listing yesterday. It was up till 5 a.m. in the morning on Clubhouse with some people like Don Diablo, Pussy Riot, that I did draw parties with. And I'm connecting it to a charity, the Mental Health Organization Against Suicide Prevention in America, and the WWF. Those are two causes that are close to me. And this whole thing, this NFT space that I'm in right now, for me, is not, for some people, it's like a quick money grab. For me, I'm already in a position that I don't need that. So I want to use this to give back as much as I can.
Thank you, Jesse. So we'll do a bit of the technical side of it first, yeah, and then we'll get into the sort of this sort of mini revolution, I guess, that's going on. So the first thing is, you said tokenized on the blockchain. So can you just explain what that means?
So I'm trying to find like easy ways to explain it, but what we when you have your artwork, whether it's a video or a picture, and you upload it to Instagram or Facebook, It's on the server of Facebook. Now you upload it, mint it, as they call it, to the blockchain. So for that, you will pay a gas fee in the Ethereum network. Right now, it's quite high. I think I paid like $70 per piece to mint my NFT. And then after that, you have to list them. I'm minting mine on foundation.app/JesseMeester. Feel free to check them out. And then you have a listing gas fee as well involved. So there's a quite a few different things involved. Then you have your wallet, like where you store your crypto, in this case, the MetaMask wallet. And that's where you hold your Ethereum to pay for those gas fees to connect your foundation. Or if you want to place a bid, if you want to place a bid right now, you need a MetaMask wallet in order for you to have a profile on there and be able to bid. So what I was struggling with yesterday, coming to my second objection here with Foundation and maybe other platforms too, is that it's not very mobile friendly. So I have people that swipe up to my artwork and they're like, hey, I want to bid, but I can't. I can't even follow you on Foundation. And that's because you can only use a desktop or a laptop to do that. And then have a Chrome extension with your MetaMask wallet to bid. So for a lot of people, especially my followers, they're like, oh, Jesse, I'll do it later, or I don't know how to do it. I'm trying to help them get involved. But then they forget about it. And so there's still a long way to go, but it's a beautiful space.
So is it available to anyone? Can anyone have a piece of art or something digital on the internet that they mint, stroke, tokenize, and it is there forever on the blockchain, a piece of art or some asset online? Anyone can do that.
Anyone can do that right now. And that I think creates so much opportunity right now for artists that are maybe unknown, now have an opportunity to get out there and really profit digitally from their art. And I see a lot of opportunity. I see a lot of skeptics in the field, but right now for me, I see a lot of opportunity. And the opportunity is that artists can get a lot of extra income through this process. And at the same time, the big players in the game, you know, I feel that there is an important integrity aspect where we need to look at how can we help the artists that cannot pay for the gas fees. How can we, you know, assist them? How can we give back to the community? Because right now it's very niche. Right now it's a very small community, even on Clubhouse. And the beautiful thing about any art community is that you can get together, you can talk about art, but you can also see now the future of that technology developing. And we're so early. And it's so beautiful right now to be in it, to be part of it, to be a collector myself. I've bought some pieces of some artists. And to actually also buy or get the physical piece. I think yesterday I bought an artwork from a famous artist, and that's now doing NFTs. And he said, if you buy my NFT, I'll also ship you the physical piece. So like, you know, that's a beautiful thing. So I now actually own, you know, on the blockchain is visible, I own his artwork. And that I also have it in physical form. So that I think is such a great opportunity. I was also, to elaborate a little bit more on that, I was in a room yesterday, I think it was Bassjackers, another Dutch friend, and they did a release where if you bought like an NFT from them, you did a bid, and you get like the silver bid or the gold bid, you get unlimited access for the rest of your life to their concerts. You know, it's like there's so much creativity and so many great things happening that I'm very excited about.
Okay. Thanks, Jesse. So you said a lot of people think that NFTs are a scam. I remember when ICOs were big, you know, the initial coin offerings and, you know, that kind of like tumbleweed now. And what would you say to people that say, no, NFTs are a scam?
Well, first of all, we can't compare the ICO bubble with this. That I think is just very, very wrong. Some people do that, but I think then you misunderstand the technology behind it and where we are in this stage. It's a completely different thing. Right now, what I would agree with is that a lot of pieces are overpriced, and there's a reason for that. A lot of people, including myself, made a lot of money with crypto. And it's like, okay, what am I going to do with that money? Right? It's in my crypto wallet. I got Ethereum. I got this. Let me buy some art. And in some countries, you can even write it off, right? As you know. So, it's a big reason right now why we see the market stabilize. People are like, oh, it's already crashing. It's already going down. People are not bidding as high anymore. It's true. But the market is correcting itself, and it's stabilizing. It's a healthy pattern, you know. We can't drop 100 Ethereum for an overly obsessed girlfriend. The screenshot picture that I think was sold for like 120. I don't know the exact number, but like these wild, crazy amounts. We had the Grumpy Cat. What was that? 120 Ether. Like and right now one ETH is like $3,000. So people came into the space, did a money grab, and I can't blame them. I can't blame them because they became famous for something, or they, you know, became a meme, and now they're minting it and they're making an NFT and people buying into it. So if that's a scam to you, I can get into that, but at the same time, right now the market is stabilizing and you can very, very clearly see that.
So we saw this in the housing market, Jesse. I just want to make a point on that. I think a big element of this money coming through crypto and into NFTs, and you know, what is a surprising amount of money for not really much particularly tangible, is because they didn't have to work and graft to earn that money. And they didn't pay tax on that graft, and they didn't earn it over 15 years hard labor. And people do. So, for example, when house prices go up a lot and you make a lot of equity, people remortgage their houses and they feel like it's almost free money because they didn't earn it because the house prices just went up. And so to a certain degree, like you said, there's a lot of people who've made a lot of money in cryptos. Not necessarily. I mean, I'm not demeaning it when I say they didn't do anything for it. They researched. You know, they put their money in, they took a risk, but they didn't really work for it as such. That doesn't make it wrong. That doesn't make it false. It makes it what it is. So I guess in that regard, then, do you think the value of NFTs or the popularity of NFTs will be directly linked and tracked to the, you know, the movements of the market of cryptos? Or do you think it will become its own sector and niche, which is separate?
I think you make a really great point there. Some people got very lucky, but at the same time, you could say they invested in Bitcoin with a very strategic way of thinking, right? Other people, by luck, like Dogecoin, for instance, I think we're now looking at 40 cents. Nobody thought that would ever happen. You could argue that some people were like, yeah, you know what? Elon Musk is going to tweet and he's going to really, really put that flag of Dogecoin on the moon itself. And we literally have a Dogecoin going to the moon. So it depends on how you look at it. But I hear what you say. I think some people just blindly got very rich in the crypto space. And others, I know friends of mine, even beginning their 20s, some even 16, 17, that are richer than me and really dropped out of college and dedicated their entire day to crypto trading. There's a lot of money to be made. And to be really honest with you, I think we're still very early. If we're looking at XRP or Ethereum or, hitting $3,000 now, I bought Ethereum when it was $400. what was that, 3 years ago? So, you know, and then XRP, it's the reason why it's suppressed right now, the price, is because they're involved in a SEC lawsuit that's happening, I believe, the 30th of May. But imagine if they settle that. Imagine if that lawsuit gets dropped, which I think it will. So there's a lot of research that goes in, you know, yes, some people get lucky in the crypto space, but the big players really strategically, like a sniper, look at the market, look at what's going on. And trust me, there's a lot of time that goes involved. But coming back to the point, yes, some people didn't pay tax and they're like, hey, this NFT space, you know what? I think this artwork is going to increase in value over the next couple of years. I think Jesse's artwork is going to become more valuable. Again, this is not financial advice. I just want to stress that. But let's say if you say, Jesse, you know what? You're going to be on Discovery Plus in 2022. So I think your artwork might increase in value over time. So let me invest in you. Could be, if that's your reason. Some people are investing because of that reason. And I think it could very much be true. And to be really honest, I think if you're dropping one of ones, so unique pieces, you're looking at a piece that maybe Snoop Dogg or we have Jake Paul or other big influencers. You want a piece of them. You want a piece of them on the blockchain. I might want a piece from Rob Moore. You know, like, I don't know if you're dropping one, but I might want a piece of that. So this is my opportunity, and I would be, you know, very much involved, most likely, if I believe in that the value will increase. Binance, the marketplace, has now announced that they will create a marketplace for NFTs. That's exciting stuff, you know. So I can be trading the NFTs that I already bought very soon. So again, these are exciting times, my friend, and I think every time when something like this happens, you're going to have people that will scream a scam, even friends of mine, that are like, yeah, I don't believe in it. I'm not getting involved. That's okay. But if you're really doing if you become financially literate and you do your research and you educate yourself, which I always say is the number one thing, and you understand the space and what's going on, then you don't want to miss out.
So Jesse, the creator economy, which is this revolution, or rather the decentralization of power and control and media. So if you look up the definition of the creator economy, it is the decentralization of media, where corporate media power shifts from the big companies to the individual entrepreneurs and influencers, where social media channels and platforms compete for the creators. Done a lot of research into sort of the definition of the creator economy. But even since people have defined the creator economy, we now have Rally, where you can have a Rob coin or a Jesse coin. We have BitClout, where people can literally invest in you as a brand, or a piece of you. And then, of course, you just talked about NFTs, where you don't just see that you're investing in a piece of digital art, you see that you're investing in the artist and the hope, the speculation, or even the research that they will go up in value. So like you'd buy a real estate or a property that would go up in value, you now buy into creators and influencers and their art and their creation, and you can even buy into their social capital in the hope and expectation that it will go up. This is fucking crazy, interesting shit all coming together. I mean,
oh, it is, man.
You remember those games, like, was it Sim City? And there were actually computer games where you could build these things and exchange these currencies online. It was a game. And it's like we're now in this matrix of, is it real? Is it a game? But how all this stuff comes together, what do you think about this creator economy as I've just described it?
I think it's a great time to be alive. And for especially the creators that are with us right now live or listening to this on the podcast, there are so many ways right now to generate income, whether you are a starting creator, artist, or influencer, whatever direction you want to go. We have communities right now where I have coached influencers, or even, to be really honest and open with you, girls, models that got onto OnlyFans and that I...
For research purposes only, Jesse.
I'm just being, you know what I mean? Like, they make 30 to 40 grand a month, okay, for posting cute pictures they would normally post on Instagram anyway. It's not just porn, it's not just erotic, just cute picture, okay? Then we have coaches, then we have starting artists that can create a community on Instagram over like a, like, you know, it's very easy to generate 1,000 followers, okay? People say Instagram is very hard to gain. You can generate a small community, and then when you create a super fan base, you create a Patreon, or you start monetizing your YouTube, that you might not generate any income from in the beginning, all right? But the more you will put out, eventually the more people will receive it and the more people will find it, your SEO will go up. And with you creating that community, like I just said earlier in the podcast, I was up till 5 a.m. in the morning, right? There's a reason for that, because I'm nobody in NFT community. Well, for some people I am. To myself, I'm a nobody, okay? Because right now I have Don Diablo. He's almost my neighbor. He comes to support at 1 a.m. in the morning. Okay, that means a lot to me. He doesn't do that for a lot of people. That shows that he cares and that he is thankful for me valuing and giving back to other people, other artists that are coming into the NFT community, right? And this is something that I want to encourage anyone to do, is if you want to get into the acting community or you want to get into the influencer community, right? Start reaching out to those people. Start seeing what they do. Rob and I do these rooms sometimes in on Clubhouse as well, where we talk about this. And when you get into that community, and I did 2 months ago, I didn't know anybody. I was just listening. I was being very, like, you know, present and hearing what was going on. And then I got brought up. And now, you know, I'm doing the biggest rooms on Clubhouse about it. So, you know, it's possible for anyone. And I just really want to stress that, because I often hear it and it breaks my heart. Like, yeah, but I only have 1,000 followers or 3 or 4. Well, then you have 10 Patreon members to start with. If you get 1% to convert to your Patreon, your members only, okay, then you build your following. You maybe get one extra, okay. Then you're already maybe at like $500-$600 a month. It is very much possible, but in the beginning, it's very much about creating, aka value. And then right now, even with myself, just having those links in your bio, people can, like, I have a direct.me/Jesse Meester. You can, hey, maybe some people want to see my IMDb, what acting I did, they can click on my IMDb. Some people want to check me out on YouTube, they can click on there. So have that type of stuff. Have people that, you know, are interested in you, build that community, ask them questions too. Hey, you know, like, go live with them. Ask them questions, interact, okay? Go into those comments yourself. They take time out of their day to watch you, to comment on your posts. You can do the same, okay? And it will come back to you. So again, Rob, the creator economy right now is something that is incredible with opportunity and very, very possible for anyone to get in.
Right, so John, who's been watching, I've wanted to ask you this question myself, because we've had chats on the phone about this. But John said, Rob should publish the world's first NFT book. It's not just art. Stop limiting the conversation to just pieces of art. Wake up, this could be applied to NFT books. Because I was actually talking to you and Gary Henderson about this, because I still haven't quite got my head around. Can you NFT anything?
Yeah, you can NFT anything.
So how could I, like, I've written 18 books. How do you NFT a book?
Well, you, I think the way to do it is you have pictures of your book and you would mint them on the blockchain. And that's how you, John, you will be able to buy that physical piece, let's say a certain paragraph or the entire book, you know, how far you want to, go to, or just the cover. You can go many directions with it. You can even get your book, right, make a 3D kind of like thing about it, or it just don't have to be like a screenshot. Like, you could make it a screenshot, but you can also make it something more, like even give a little touch to it, a little, you know, extra dynamic, or maybe you can add benefits to it, right? People that buy your NFT, they can come to your seminar for free. You know, that's something that will become very interesting very quickly. You know, so there's really anything that you can make an NFT of. If you think that that's of value and people would buy into it, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's say a book or a video or an audio or a photo or an image or whatever. But let's say a book was minted and tokenized. How could you then go and sell 10,000 or 100,000 copies? You said one of one, but how would you sell it at scale?
Well, when you mint it, you can say, like, I'm only going to have one, or I'm going to have 10 of those. And I personally am doing one of ones. It's because I want to create something that's rare, unique, and I only want that to be possessed by one person. In your case, you know, if you want to do a book cover or you want to do an entire book or whatever, I would definitely do more copies. In fact, like I said earlier, I would give extra benefits to it, you know, people that buy into it. Like, and you can show, like, let's say if I say, hey, Rob, I own your book NFT. Maybe I can come into your seminar. Maybe I can go shopping with you. You know, I would buy into an NFT from you just because of that, because I'd love to go shopping with you. You know, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was having a chat. I definitely want to look into this book thing, but I feel like I need to get my head around it a bit more. But yeah, let's have a chat.
It doesn't, and again, we talk about a book now, and that could be very much a thing, you know, but I think you also have an artistic mind, and I think you can come up with something that, you know, just, I don't know, a collaboration or, you know, charity, whatever, like, there's so many directions you can go with this. And the beautiful thing about this is that it challenges a lot of people to think out of their box and be like, hey, what can I, like, okay, like, for me, this process for me minting and listing my NFT yesterday night at 5 a.m. I've been spending 6 weeks, usually 2-3 a.m. calls with Emily and Griffin, who I worked on it with, to make sure everything is aligned and that we are on the same page, and the photography aspect, the music that Emily created under the NFTs. And then we have Griffin putting it together into something very romantic and something very special. So yeah, I'd love to know what you think about them. You know, like, they're very nice pieces, and I'd love to hear what your favorite is.
Okay, well, I'll have a look and I'll let you know. All right. So I guess NFTs, this space is completely unregulated. I guess most of, if not all, cryptocurrencies are completely unregulated. What do you think about that? And second part of the question, do you think, no, take the first part, do that part first.
I think crypto and anything on the blockchain should remain the way it is. It should be decentralized. It's decentralized for a reason, right? And the moment the government, which they're already trying to do, tries to get involved, is going to, in the short term, maybe limit the price or maybe limit the amount, but eventually it will only drive up the price. Because you can't control decentralized blockchain. You can't. Even, and the government tries to do it. They try to do it in China. They try to do it in a lot of other places. So no, it should not be regulated. And I'm very much against any government that tries to do that.
And then this decentralization of money, essentially, so continued, you know, if you think about cryptocurrencies, is essentially that, isn't it? A decentralization of currency, and then the increased speed of all these new financial instruments. Do you think this is going to be the death of the traditional bank and the banking system and the fiat currency as we know it?
I personally, thank you, Kurt. I personally believe so. And the reason why is that people right now believe in this bubble that we are in. People believe in this financial system of the Federal Reserve printing money for how as much as they want for as long as people believe it holds value. There's nothing that backs it up. They're trying to grab gold and control the gold price. It's not happening. So I personally believe we're going to see an end of that, end of fiat currency. And I've read a lot of books about that. And the reason is because my friend from that I know like 10 years ago, he was a bus driver. Back then, I think I was in the military still. And he always, his paycheck always went, he was a very humble guy, and every time he got a paycheck, he was buying Bitcoin, and he had this safe in his home, and he put the paper wallets into that safe. It's 10 years ago. I never understood it, but he always encouraged me to read about Bitcoin. He always told me about this, about the currency, fiat currency, and you have to be careful, you have to get into Bitcoin. And this guy now disappeared. And he was a bus driver. He's like, I don't know where he is, but he made it. And I'm glad I read those books, because it changed my perspective about how we look at fiat currency, how I look at fiat currency, and also that we have to be careful, and that holding money in the bank is not your money. Holding money on the bank is their money. It's not yours. You have a license to get that out because you put it in there. Also, with the deflation and everything that's happening, I'd rather personally, again, no financial advice, personally, I'd rather have it in crypto. And that way, yes, with price drops and everything involved right now, it's very highly volatile. We've seen that. But we could argue at the same time that deflation is doing the same. So I personally feel safe having my money in real estate and in crypto.
So
I know. Yeah. Just be very careful. That's all I'm going to say.
What does a world with no traditional banks or no fiat currency look like? Is there 78,000 different currencies that we've got to exchange? How does it work?
Well, I don't think Bitcoin is going to be the currency, because it's too expensive. It's too volatile. Like we need to have a stable coin that is very, very cheap, or almost has no transaction fees. to use to make that an actual thing. We're not there yet. There are now cryptocurrencies in the works that are aspiring to do that. And I think we're going to get to that place. And that's going to be a very exciting time. Right now, let's take Dogecoin as an example, right? The coin that started out as a joke now became a whole thing and everybody's talking about it. It's too volatile because I think a few whales, they hold about like 80% of the whole supply. So that's not a good thing. What we have to look into is the transaction fee, which is 10 times cheaper than Bitcoin or Ethereum. And it's super fast. Like right now, when I go to the supermarket and I want to pay for my cheese and milk, I don't want to go to once I grabbed it, I want to make sure that the price is still the same. I want to make sure that, and even for the merchant, you want to make sure you still get the value crypto, that the transaction fee is not higher than the actual milk or cheese that I'm buying. And right now with Bitcoin, that's the case. So with Dogecoin, however, it's super cheap to transact. It's super quick to do transactions. So that's something we need to make this happen. And then there's no government, there's no banks that control. So we're working towards that, and I'm very much looking forward to it. And at the same time, this is the reason why I'm investing in decentralized future. And I'm also somebody that's rational, became more rational. I'm still working on that because I'm an emotional kind of guy. So I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, I'm investing all my money in Bitcoin and crypto and, you know, just because of the technology. And then like hold it all the way down, like, you know, when we have a big correction to like from 50 to let's say 20K. No, I will, if there's a big correction, I will take out and I will buy back in cheaper, you know, because at the end of the day, you want to be smart. You want to protect your assets. Right now, a lot of people don't notice you have a stable coin. Sometimes I just go into stablecoin, which will always be that price. And then I can opt back in into cryptocurrencies once the market is stable. So, yeah.
Okay. Loving this. So, Jesse, you were chilling in Mykonos, having good vibes and food with Dan Bilzerian. Is he in the crypto space big time? Is there anything there?
Dan holds some crypto, from what he told me. I haven't heard from him in a while, to be really honest. He's also not very active on social anymore. I've read some stories about what's going on with the company, Ignite. And He loves coming to Mykonos, and a lot of other celebrities do. And it's the great thing about it is that there is this party vibe, but in a way that's, I don't know, more freeing than I would say Ibiza. I don't know if you come down there. It you do or not?
Man, I don't like the sand. I don't like the beach.
I like cities.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a great. I go to Greece every year, and we do it big. We do it like the entire, like even the last year, because of everything that was going on, I was kind of like, let's just be stuck here, and we just went partying. We just had a good time, and we enjoyed life. And that's, you know, just. When you're around the right people, that's what you wanna live for. And all we do with, you know, making money and being on the Money podcast right now, all we're really buying is time, in my opinion. You know, we're buying time. That's all we have. And with time, I can allow myself to do things that I want to do before I pass away. I leave my legacy, and that to me is what this game is about, man.
Love it. Paris Hilton, she was involved in an NFT drop, wasn't she, just recently? Tell us about that.
That's the one drop I wasn't. I don't know what I was doing, but I wasn't there.
Ah,
yeah, I wasn't there, so I can't speak on that one. But most of the big ones I've been.
What about the Logan Paul one? The Logan Paul drop.
One. I don't know for what it's sold, but I'm telling you that all these celebrities that come into the space, they come up with these big followings, right? So you would think of that big following, some investor would be there to like do a bit. No. The whales, the people that invest, are on Clubhouse. So even with Don Diablo, I've been there through the start. Same with Pussy Riot. Millions of followers, world-renowned DJ. The two bidders on that NFT drop were in the room. Was marketed on social, everything, like marketing strategies. It was really all about that drop room on Clubhouse. And I've been seeing it every single time. And it's a very niche space. And yeah, I was blown away by that. I did not expect that. And there, like I said earlier, there's an element of like, it's very not mobile friendly. You need like Chrome extension. You need like a MetaMask wallet. You need to have Ethereum on there. You know, so it's very niche, but it's just very interesting to see that people that are huge on social, they can't get a bidder, including myself, by the way.
So you basically need, so when we say drop for the non-techies, so people have like a launch party in a Clubhouse room, and they can have millions of followers and promote it, and you can have 1,000 or even sometimes 5,000 people in a room, and it all boils down to two whale investors who've got big pockets of cryptos bidding against each other to get the price up.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, what I've also seen a lot, especially last week, big rooms, like 400 or 500 people, and nothing is happening. Or three sales or two, or, and you know, like, that's why what I love about Foundation is like my auction only starts when the reserve bid is met. So I'm like, of course I'm gonna like market it, but I'm not too pressured of like, oh, when the reserve price is met or when somebody is like, you know, going on there, because once the auction is starting, then I want to do like a Clubhouse room 1 hour before the auction ends. And now that is going to be interesting. And yeah, like I said earlier, there are cases that just nothing happens because it's a very niche space, and you need to really listen, be present, and give back to the community and do the know-how, and it's just, I've learned a lot the past 2 months, and especially now doing my listing on Foundation, the politics around it, everything that's involved. It's a beautiful thing, but we're not there yet.
So Jesse, two more things. Yeah. So one is, you're going to be doing a talk at the Opportunity Summit on this space, on this amazing, really, we're talking about the future of money here. This is why I wanted this on the Money Podcast, not the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast, because this is the future of money we're talking about. And so I want to thank you for doing a slot on the Opportunity Summit. We've got some great speeches there. Someone doing the creator economy. We've got a billionaire. We've got one of the biggest fashion brands ever, the founder of, We've got, you know, monetizing your brand on social media, all the different monetization tools. So I want to thank you for being part of that. I'm going to put the link in the comments. If anyone's listening, it's robmore.live if you want to try and register and grab yourself any last minute tickets. You're going to have to be quick because it's coming within the week. You might have to go on a waiting list because I think we're going to have 500 on our Zoom account, and we've got a lot more than that registered, I can tell you. But if you go to robmore.live, I'll put it in the chat for those on the live. But Jesse, what sort of things are you going to talk about at the Opportunity Summit? What opportunities do you see in the crypto and NFT and digital money and digital art space?
Well, first of all, I'm going to be more in depth about cryptocurrencies, which cryptocurrencies, the technology behind it, the functionality. I'm going to be giving some, I hate to say it, but some information about, like, you know, what project you could get involved to or think about getting involved in. Also where fiat currency is heading right now, what's really going on. I'm going to get more, like, deeper into it. Some other things that I will be speaking about is the marketplace of NFTs, how to sell them, how to list them, all that good stuff, and digital assets. Those are the main key points that I'm going to be talking about. At the same time, I will, because obviously that's a big part of what I do, creator economy, how I am living the life that I'm living, how I'm pretty much traveling nonstop. I'm all about elevating together. I'm about winning together. So I'm excited for, being part of that. I think after that, I'll be at a social media summit in Egypt. I know some big bloggers are coming there, and I will be streaming that too. So I'm excited for it, Rob. And I think you should all join and be there. Because there's going to be a lot of nuggets that are going to be dropped.
And that is robmore.live. You can see if you can get yourself at that event, or at least get on the waiting list, but it is coming very soon. So robmore.live. So my final question, Jesse, before we tell everyone where they can follow you is, what's the future of money?
The future of money. I think I already gave that answer, right? I think the fiat currency is not going to be what it is. I think fiat currency for a big part is going to see maybe a fall, like completely eventually in the future, it's going to be replaced by cryptocurrency. So
the big banks have something to say about that. Don't you think that
the big banks, you know, right now control the world, right? They keep printing money, but the people, eventually, and they're becoming bigger and bigger, are waking up to what's really going on. If you look at last year, what has been printed and the deflation of everything, and how people are believing that $1 is $1 and that it holds value, it's all about trust at this point. It's all about a bubble. So again, it's not a question if, it's a question when. When is it going to fall? Because it's all trust, and it's all like, do we believe this as a collective, as a community, as a society? Good. And you know, just like we talked about Rally, and we talked about BitCloud. I don't know where BitCloud is heading, to be really honest, by the way. I'm personally not invested in it with my own money as of now, because, and I'm careful with saying to people, go follow me there or buy my coin, because I want to see where it's going. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. But with Rally or creating your own coin per se, it's the same kind of like, you believe in a person, you believe it holds value, you believe this coin holds value. So, you know, and there's a like demand and ask and all that stuff that keeps that price moving. But right now, again, what's happening with fiat currency is very scary, very scary.
Jesse, where can we follow you? What socials are you most active on? What are your usernames?
I will, I would say at Jesse Meester on Instagram. I think you already put it on the text at Jesse Meester on Instagram. And then if you click my direct me link, you can see all my other profiles and the stuff that you wanna see me on. So really appreciate you, Rob, so much for having me as always. And we're going to actually when can I do that? But once the UK opens up, when I get back from Russia and Colombia, I will be looking into heading to the UK and do a workout together or some good stuff. So I do look forward to that.
Me too, Jesse. Thanks a lot for doing this. Really appreciate it. And yeah, for those last chance tickets, go to robmore.live and follow Jesse at Jesse Meester, especially on Instagram, because he's big on Instagram, but all of his channels, and he's got his link on Instagram to see his other profiles. Jesse, this has been a fun conversation. Always love talking to you.
Thank you so much. See you later. Thank you so much.
Oh, no. See you on Clubhouse. Yeah. See you later.